By the time your father was a teenager, things were rapidly changing in Kenya. People began to talk about independence. Meetings and demonstrations were held, and petitions were presented to the administration complaining about land confiscations and the power of chiefs to commission free labor for government projects. Like other boys, your father would be influenced by the early talk of independence, and he would come home from school talking about the meetings he had seen. Your grandfather agreed with many of the demands of the early parties like KANU, but he remained skeptical that the independence movement would lead to anything because he thought Africans could never win against the white man's army. Despite this attitude, your grandfather would once find himself detained. An African who worked for the district commissioner was jealous of your grandfather's lands. This man had once been rebuked by your grandfather because he would collect excessive taxes and pocket the money for himself. During the emergency, this man placed Onyango's name on a list of KANU supporters and told the white man that Onyango was a subversive. One day, the white man's soldiers came to take Onyango away, and he was placed in a detention camp. Eventually, he received a hearing, and he was found innocent. But he had been in camp for over 6 months, and when he returned to Alego, he was very thin and dirty. He had difficulty walking, and his head was full of lice. He was so ashamed he refused to enter his house or tell us what had happened. Barak was away at the time and only learned about this detention later. He had taken the district examinations and had been admitted to Maseno Mission School, some 50 miles south. This should have been a great honor for Barak, because few Africans then were allowed to get secondary education, and only the best students got into Maseno. But your father's rebellious nature caused the school much grief. He would sneak girls into his dormitory. He and his friends would raid nearby farms for chickens and yams because they did not like the dormitory food. The teachers at the school overlooked many of these infractions, for they saw how smart he was. But eventually, Barak went too far with his mischief and was finally expelled. Onyango was so furious when he found out, he beat Barak with a stick until Barak's back was bleeding. But Barak refused to run or cry out or even explain himself to his father. The following week, Onyango told Barak that he had arranged for him to travel to the coast, where he would work as a clerk. Barak had no choice but to obey his father. He went to Mombasa and took the job, in the office of an Arab merchant. But after a short time, he had an argument with the Arab and left without collecting his pay. He found another clerk's job, but it paid much less. He was too proud to ask his father for help or admit that he had been wrong. Nevertheless, word got back to Onyango, and when Barak came home for a visit, his father shouted to him that he would amount to nothing. Barak tried to tell Onyango that the new job paid much better than the one Onyango had arranged. He said that he was earning 150 shillings every month. Onyango knew that his son had lied. He went into his hut and told Barak to go away because he had brought shame on his father. Barak moved to Nairobi and found a job working as a clerk for the railway, but he was bored and he became distracted by the politics of the country. The Kikuyu had begun their warfare in the forests. Everywhere there were rallies calling for Kenyatta's release from prison. Barak began to attend political meetings after work and came to know some of the KANU leadership. At one of these meetings, the police came, and Barak was arrested for violating the meeting law. He was jailed and sent word to his father that he needed money for bail. But Onyango refused to give Barak the money that he asked for and told me that his son needed to learn his lesson well. Because he was not a leader in KANU, Barak was released after a few days. But there was no happiness in his release, for he had begun to think that perhaps what his father had said was true, that he would amount to nothing. He was a man of 20, and what did he have? He had been fired from his railway job, he was estranged from his father, without money or prospects, and he now had a wife and child. He had met Kazia when he was only 18. She lived in Kindu with her family then. He was struck by her beauty, and after a brief courtship, he decided that he would marry her. To do so, he knew that his father would have to help him with the dowry, and so he asked me to intercede on his behalf. 1 year after Barak and Kazia were married, Roy was born. 2 years later came Alma. To support this family, Barak had to take any work he could find, and he finally convinced another Arab, named Suleiman, to take him on as an office boy. But Barak remained deeply depressed, almost desperate. Barak saw that he might end up working as the clerk of these men for the rest of his life.